Good space time, y'all. In this episode of the Citizen Cosmos podcast, I spoke with Tariq Lewis, the founder of Volume Finance and Paloma Chain. We discussed the multi-chain world, DeFi, communication in pigeons, R&D, how can user adoption be improved, validating and interchain relaying.
The beautiful thing about the way we've used cryptography and this database technology to create new forms of money and new forms of value and even now new communication systems, that is, you know, I'm lucky to be alive. We think that in a multi-chain world, particularly led by the Cosmos, the relayer network will continue to become more and more important. It is our view that Cosmos, essentially proof of stake model, allows us to build a path by which validators can take on the job of helping secure bridge communications and bridge state because they will be slashed. And if they see activity that is bad behavior, they can quickly respond and take that bad activity out.
Before we rock it off into the podcast, here are the latest news from the sponsor of this episode, Cyber. The Cyber Congress DAO has opened the portal and Atom, ETH, Terra, and Osmo users that meet the requirements can claim their gift and their moon citizenship on SIB.ai. Hi, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Citizen Cosmos podcast. I have Tariq Lewis with me today, the founder. Guys, get ready for this Volume. And that's it. I love it, Tariq.
I feel full already.
So, man, this is great. I love this. Founder of Volume. Amazing. And first thing, do you want to explain why and how did you became the founder of Volume, what it is, and whatever else you want to share about yourself in your intro?
All right. So Volume is the word. And what we do is I created this company because we want to increase the volume of transactions on public blockchains. And we want to increase the volume of transactions in the Cosmos. If you're listening to this message, you know that Volume really care. We really care about the Cosmos ecosystem. And one of the things that we're working on is the Paloma protocol. And Paloma is a Cosmos SDK chain whose goal it is to increase transaction volume by being a messaging protocol between chains in the Cosmos interchain universe, as well as outside of the universe. So we like to tell folks we really want to use the Cosmos to drive more transactions into the Cosmos and around the Cosmos because we live in a multi-chain world. Now, if you don't know me, I will say that here's my Cosmos tenement credentials. In 2014, a young man came to me. I was running the SF Bitcoin Devs meetup in San Francisco. And this gentleman came to me and said, "Hey, listen, I know this is a Bitcoin meetup, but I want to make a presentation." And I said, "Listen, no. It's Bitcoin presentation, right?" He's like, no, I have this thing called Tendermint." I'm like, "Ha ha, that sounds tender." And I hosted the first ever public presentation of the Tendermint protocol by Jay Kwon. So my claim is that,
Nice.
So ever since the beginning, since the very first spoken word of Tendermint, I have been in the Cosmos and even have worked. Zaki Mannion, my old co-founder, Similia, was a member of the SF Bitcoin Devs crew as well. And we all, essentially, many of us helped contribute to Cosmos success. So really passionate about the Cosmos ecosystem, passionate about the multi-chain world. So the multi-chain world has been with us since 2014. We just didn't know it yet. And now it is getting bigger and bigger. And the Cosmos is really the leader. And I think that mantle should stay. That the Cosmos ecosystem leads us into a multi-chain world.
I love that, man, that you said, you mentioned the sentence that the multi-chain world has been there. And for a lot of, I don't like the word users, but screw it. Let's go with the word users. You know, like I'm including.
Let's go with our users.
Because it is using.
That's right.
It is using blockchain. It's more about addiction, right?
That's
really
right.
To the blockchain and to the whole like decentralization
That's
scene.
Right.
And it has been there for all of us that have been there since like before 2015, 14. It has been there. We've just been waiting for it. And then finally with Osmosis, I believe was the first example, right? The first like working example, like bam, there you go, guys. But back to Volume. I really love it. And I love that Cosmos is not shy of making a little bit silly, like the terms. Sometimes we play around with it and people are okay with it,
that's right,
you know?
That's right.
So, man, you mentioned Volume and Paloma, and you mentioned blockchain communication. I'm going to like go general a little bit, and then feel free to explain how it works in Paloma, but the question will be general. So what do you generally think in terms of the current relaying atmosphere around cross-blockchain communication? Is it decentralized enough? How will it be in the future? Will it be more decentralized, less decentralized? What are the downsides? I know it's a lot of questions, but this is a general topic. I would love to hear your opinions as an expert.
Absolutely. So it is our view that end-to-chain relaying is a massive problem. It is a massive problem because without the right incentives and without the right structure and architecture, it becomes a choke point for the entire multi-chain universe. In the Cosmos, we know currently that we sort of have to beg and pray for our IBC relayers. Can I use the word IBC in this talk? Because then, right, if you're in this channel, you know that relaying, and when we built, you know, when in the Cosmos ecosystem, when we launched Stargate last year, around 2020, that brought the promise of IBC, interchain blockchain protocol, to the Cosmos ecosystem. It depends on relayers. And relayers who are doing relaying or sending the transactions or pieces of information from one blockchain to another, if they're doing this, you know, out of the goodness of their heart or altruistically, usually what happens is you have a tragedy of the commons, right? Essentially, it's hard to get your messages out on time because you don't have a system to demand performance. And so we think that in a multi-chain world, particularly led by the Cosmos, the relayer network will be continue to become more and more important. This means simply that relayers need a new architecture. And in Paloma, we're taking the approach that, and we're testing and we're learning, that relayers should be validators and validators must relay. And so in the Paloma architecture, validators have to relay or else they will be slashed. So currently, most of the Cosmos status quo is that if you are a validator, you don't have to relay. Relay is optional because you are validating and verifying the chain integrity. And what we have said in Paloma is that chain integrity and message latency, which is the message must get to the next chain as fast as possible, is a validator responsibility. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. The question that derives, and again, I did warn you a little bit, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate because I want to get inside of your head.
Wait, is that smoke coming out of your ears? What's going on, dude?
No.
Listen, forgive me.
The funny thing about this, when I was doing the, and by the way, where did he disappear to? Connie Daddy. I just realized that I haven't seen him for ages. I remember recording the episode. And the thing is, while recording the episode, and I'm going to confess my sins to everybody, while me and Connie Daddy recorded the episode, he had like 1.5 bottles of tequila, and I did smoke 2 or 3 blunts. And guys, I mean, I'm sorry, but that's the truth, right? And like, man, it is what it is. It is what it is.
But please go in peace. You are forgiven for that beautiful story. That was awesome.
Where is he?
I have not seen him in a bit.
I hope it wasn't the episode we recorded.
Hey, you know, you might be at Stanford this week. You never know. All right.
So let's go back to the relay. And the first like devil's advocate thing that comes to mind is the cost of running a validator node. I mean, you did mention incentives and I would love you to go like deeper now. So how do we solve this? I mean, because being a validator, I know how hard it is.
Yeah. In September 2020, I was in Berkeley sitting with Jack Zampelin. We were chatting about the relayer problem and the relay incentivization problem. And I said, Jack, how are we going to incentivize relayers? Like in this model, if they don't get paid, how do they perform? And Jack was like, Tarek, you stress out about these things, man. It's going to work out. And I was like, Jack, I love you, dude. You're so awesome. And I want to give a shout out to Jack Zampelin. He is a visionary. And because of him, we have Cosmos Relayer architecture and a lot of new stuff coming out. So really good stuff that he's working on in that area. So we're experimenting at Paloma. We're taking the approach that the way we incentivize the relayers, because they have to be validators, is they get incentivized with gas payments. They get incentivized by providing or getting additional revenue for covering the cost of gas. What this means is in the Paloma network of the Cosmos SDK, and again, if you're using Paloma as a validator in the Cosmos, if you're not running a relayer, you get slashed. So we literally say it's impossible for you not to relay messages if you want to be a validator. But what we say on the other side of that is the reward. Users who send messages, you get to essentially charge them both a security fee as well as a relayer service fee. And that is free for the validators to price themselves as they would like. So in Paloma, because the relayers are the validators and the validators have to pay for running a node, they have to pay for gas to send a message to the target chain. And on Paloma, target chains can be either messages that go across the IBC network on the IBC network, or it can be messages that go across EVM network or the Solana network. But users who send messages cover the cost of essentially being a relayer by paying for gas, and then relayers, validators, we call them pigeons, get to charge that fee. And it's a market, so they get to charge whatever fee they would like to make it on. And we assume that the curve is going to be somewhat inelastic because we have a limited number of validators in the set. We will find out that such that if you want to get your message sent on time, then you're going to want to make sure that the pigeons in the Paloma network are well compensated. And this is the Paloma approach.
Why pigeons, man? Why did you choose that word?
I get it.
But I mean, come listen, on, pigeons.
Dude, if you go into our Telegram on Paloma chain, people say coo, coo. There is a greeting call. Coo. So every time I block, people are like, whoa, look, it's like it's coo, coo. So it's pretty insane. So the reason why we chose pigeons is because we believe that so message communication should happen anywhere. You don't want to hear the statement, well, I'm in the Cosmos, but I can't send a message to Avalanche because we don't have that access yet. We don't have Solana. Those questions should never be a doubt. So what we want to bring to the Cosmos is essentially any cross-chain communication will happen. Currently, we've already deployed to Ethereum mainnet on the Paloma testnet. So if you look at the Paloma testnet right now, it's our testnet 10. We're already executing cross-chain messages on Ethereum mainnet. We're also currently working on a Solana bridge. It will be the first Solana bridge in the Cosmos that will essentially be routing messages to Solana. And that bridge, of course, will be IBC accessible. So even if you're on an IBC chain on Osmosis, you can execute a message to Solana and back.
Wait. This is going to work. Wait.
Are you ready?
Oh, you didn't hear that, man. There was supposed to be drum. Oh, wait, because I need to press live. Wait.
Solana to Cosmos messaging back and forth bidirectional. It's coming. All right. Wait, there's more. Wait, Sergey, come on. There's more. Is it too much? Do you want a drink? I can give you a beer. You need some water. There is more. So what we want is that anybody on any Cosmos chain can IBC execute queries into Solana, execute transactions on Solana, and bring them back. That's what we want. We want that on Avalanche. We want that on Aptos and Sui. Cosmos should be everywhere. And that's our view.
This is perfect, man. Let's talk about
pigeons, right? Now, hold on a second.
Pigeons.
Where can you find pigeons?
I can say, but in the city, in the city,
everywhere.
Anywhere.
And they shit on you. So
they shit on you.
Sometimes it can be annoying, but we wanted to have an image of something that is readily like, it's anywhere, in any major city. So if we say for any major chain, Paloma is there. And essentially, Cosmos communication should be there as well.
This is really important, man, though, what you're saying. I want to get back to it about communication, but before I jump ahead of myself, I do want to talk a little bit and hear your thoughts about, I think we can agree that relaying is part of the bigger bridge topic. I want to hear your thoughts on how decentralized is bridging currently, and how can we improve this? And maybe you guys in Paloma already have thoughts about how to make this work better, or maybe it's perfect.
It's great. So bridging is not perfect, and bridging is high risk. We have a lot of good people that have lost a lot of good money on bridges that were not secure, and we have a lot of well-intentioned people who are presenting bridge solutions that are highly centralized and can be essentially at risk, put everyone at risk, not for essentially an exploit, but for centralized control or rug pull. The bridges can rug you. A lot of bridges can rug you. And we have to acknowledge this, but we have to acknowledge this as unacceptable. This is not where we're going to end. It is the Paloma position that validators who have sufficient stake and who have an interest in acquiring stake and seeing their stake go up in value will want to do the job of making sure that the bridge is secure, because their stake in the bridge is also combined to the stake of the users. So if they lose, the users lose value, the bridge loses value. It is our view that Cosmos, essentially proof of stake model, allows us to build a path by which validators can take on the job of helping secure bridge communications and bridge state, because they will be slashed. And if they see activity that is bad behavior, they can quickly respond and take that bad activity out. And so Paloma's approach, by requiring the validators to be relayers, is part of our process, is that, again, consensus on message delivery and consensus on bridge activity must be agreed on by all the other pigeons, quote-unquote validators in the set. And if there is not consensus, then not only will the transaction fail, but if there's bad behavior, then pigeons and validators will be slashed. So essentially, because the validators have to carry the water and make sure the water reaches the thirsty people, we think that this model is a security model that we are confident should be tested in the public blockchain world. So I'm not going to say anything like, yeah, we're the most secure, something happens to change that. But I would like to say that we have not seen a successful exploit against validator set security model first put forward by the Cosmos. Okay? Not yet. And as we say in science, if it hasn't happened yet, then the general accepted theory, exactly, then the general accepted theory is the validator set security model is a secure security model. Okay? And that's what I get.
I love this, because this is what I want to derive the next question for. And for you, it might sound a bit silly, but it's ironic, because the longer I talk to other communities about Cosmos and the interchain and bridges, and in fact, actually, after making this recording, I'm going to go to talk about this again. It's not going to be a question for you to give me an answer, so yes. I can copy it maybe a little bit. But if you had to, and this is because I have seen this confusion everywhere, because a lot of people, when they talk about the web, not the Web3 and Web2 stack only, but the whole stack of bridging and blockchains, they say, well, isn't IBC just another bridge? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just another bridge that's going to get racked and hacked. So how are you guys any different to anybody else? And I guess like the easiest way to explain it is inbuilt into the protocol stack. It's a bit different. Is there any other way, in your own words, that you would try to communicate this message, or any other pros that you would find easier to help other people to understand why the bridging in IBC is different, or how it is more different and more efficient from the regular bridging that gets hacked?
It's a good question. I think for those folks who need the additional help for understanding why the IBC protocol and interchain security, which comes out of that, is more secure than typical bridge networking, I keep coming back to the first principle of the validator set. Again, what Cosmos brings to us is a security model where the validators, the ones minting new blocks, are the ones who have to come to consensus on what messages should be sent through the network. And if those validators are both acting as securing the integrity of the transactions, but now also secure or take on the additional role of securing the integrity of the message, the contents of the message, and where it's coming from, it is itself the new thing. It's not just the transaction, but it's also the source of the message, right? Because that's what all this bridging stuff is I have a source and I have a target. And in the interchain, we talk about the source chain and the target chain. Some people call it the origin chain and the target chain. And so in IBC, and the beautiful thing about interchain security, which I want to say, you know, shout out to the informal team. They are coming out with interchain security this month. And we're also at Volume participating with informal on this, on the consumer chain. You can outsource the security of those connections to other validator sets. And this is something, again, that is really cool about the Cosmos. You can't do this in Bitcoin. You can try to do this in Ethereum. You'll be starting from scratch. You'll have to copy the Cosmos. And you can't do this in Solana and Avalanche. language. Only in the cosmos is it such that the validator set of another chain, we call this interchain security, can offer to secure the transactions on your chain using this IBC network. And that's what we think is also great. So Paloma itself can grow to provide security to other chains in addition to the Paloma blockchain using Cosmos Interchain Security. Now, let's take a moment to just breathe what we just said there. Are you feeling it right now? Wait, hold on. Puff, puff, give. Puff, puff, give, Sergey. What's going on? Go to the left. To the left. Right.
To the left. This
rotation, Sergey.
I'm passing around. I get that a lot. I get that a lot.
I know what kind of friend you are. So I tell folks that the entire Cosmos ecosystem, combination of all the chains, can become security guards to other chains, security guards to themselves. This is huge. This is big.
And do you think there is going to be competitions between those chains to become a bigger security guard?
Why not? Other? Absolutely. We want that, right?
It's a good thing. We want a
market of security. We want people to say, listen, I'm running a Cosmos chain. I can provide security for you over IBC on interchain security. You know what? Your token as a reward, not really working for me. You have to do more work, or your politics must be in line with ours. I think we are at the cusp of a Cambrian explosion of security opportunities in the Cosmos, which are unique. And as long as people keep launching more Cosmos-based chains, I think you're going to see this thing continue to grow. And it's super exciting. And again, unique to where we are in the Cosmos. I think this is pretty cool. So for Paloma, we absolutely agree. And what Paloma is doing is exporting its validator set security to other chains. It's saying, hey, you know what? The validator set on Paloma, because it's relaying and it has verified that the source and the target transactions occurred, can now export security or transaction guarantee security to Ethereum, to Solana, to Avalanche, to Aptos, Sui, and others. And we're excited to make that happen. And I think that's another thing that you get with Paloma is now exported chain level security moving to other non-Cosmos chains.
And I like how this naturally creates markets because, well, that's the whole beauty of like chaos,
correct,
right? Like it's a natural yin and balance, the natural yin yang that always
that's
is
right.
kept there. It's
yes.
a live organism. And one little thing that I didn't mention before, but I do want to mention because I did remember as you were mentioning more things. And I love that idea, by the way, that you guys want to use the gas fees, part of the gas fees or whatever, to go to the relay as validators. And actually, I want to bring up one topic on that and ask your opinion. Recently, you've probably seen the whole, well, it's not recent, but now it's become official, the whole message from Herzner and saying, hey guys, running validator nodes is not allowed. And now they said it actually like straightforward. They said, guys, proof of stake, not allowed. So finally, the whole market has awoken to the whole thing that we need home service.
Right. That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
We got there. And what you're saying is the obvious bloody way to solve it, guys. Give part of your rewards to the validators for them to be able to afford to buy those servers. What do you think? Do you think that's a good way to like improve the physical stack that we have below the software?
Absolutely. So at Paloma, we have a massive community of Indonesian, Vietnamese, Turkish, Ukrainian, Slavic, Russian members, currently nearly over 4,000. And what everyone is trying to do is build a business for themselves where they can be a validator and say, listen, you know, I'm living here in Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City. I am validating. I have a great network connection. I have uptime. The path for me to make sure, you know, these messages are secure and being sent is available to me. And now I can make money from that. I can make a business. And I can make this business being in a place where, you know what, these regulatory issues are not so much my concern because I am outside of these jurisdictions. And my jurisdiction lets me run this computer. And I'm running it in my home and I got it set up. And we find a lot of community members, even in the Paloma community, sharing scripts, sharing setups, so that even they're giving away the ability to say, hey, here's how you set up your server, here's how you get it running. That, to me, is going to continue to lower the cost. And at Paloma, we're really committed to saying, hey, let's continue to lower the difficulty level, lower the barrier of access for B2B validators. I think one key note is when we started our testnet, we started with 100 validators. Now our genesis is up to 175. We are looking for more ways to increase the validator set. And I think a lot of R&D on Paloma will be, hey, how can we continue to upgrade our consensus engine, our block production and block minting engine, so that we can go from 175 to 1,000 and 1,750 validators, relayers sending messages, so that this is truly a global network. And that's something we're passionate about. Absolutely.
By the way, do you think Tendermint can pull such a thing as 1,750 validators?
Not today. Not today.
Not today. Not today. I'm going to give you a secret. Wait, wait. For anybody who doesn't see this, for anybody, this is just for you. You see, this finger has got not today on the little tattoo on there. And it's this finger. And it's literally, you know, is like, it's not today.
If I was in a different context, I would think differently about that finger, but that is awesome. I love that finger. So
it's a secret. Guys, I'm sorry that you're not saying this, right? But it is a secret. Sorry.
The secret is safe with me. But what you have just proposed is the R&D for the Cosmos and for Tendermint going forward. That is the foundation for R&D. How can we continue to scale? We are looking at models, and I think one of the most amazing things is, I think that the Mistin team, the founders of Sui, you know, we spoke to them and met with them, and we're looking at, you know, exploring their, you know, novel and Tusk technology as possibly something that could work alongside Tendermint. And so there are efforts underway to be able to say, hey, how can we make the consensus layer even better so that we can have even more validators join the network? Of course, at scale, there's always going to be a limit, you know, the speed of light and communications. There's only so many, you know, nodes you can have on a network. But we think there's a lot of runway to develop and to build more validators into the Cosmos ecosystem. And exciting to see what's coming there. But yes, that will be part of Paloma's R&D.
Do you think that all of those things, like increasing the set of validators, allowing, like you say in Paloma, things for using the gas fees to help validators to relay, not to help them to relay, but to help them to keep the costs for the relay, and so on and so forth, does that help user adoption? Because I have seen a lot of those things mentioned in Paloma, that talking about user experience, about adoption. Do you think that this is what's going to help adoption in the bigger scale, or there are other things that you guys are concentrated on?
Great question. When we first, the code name we had for Paloma before we landed on the brand was FedEx Chain. And the reason why we came with FedEx Chain was because send messages, send them fast, and they get delivered on time. And we used to laugh. Go ahead, you were going to say.
It's coming out. I cannot hold it. It's like, oh. I cannot.
I love it.
No. I'm going to. It's all yours, man.
But yes, delivering on time. If Paloma can deliver the promise that your trade will get executed on time across 19 or 20 different chains, we think more people will say, I want more trades. I want to do more. And I think just in the same way that FedEx made us all get used to faster mail, because we never thought it was accessible to us and unearthed an entire new deck era business, we think fast message delivery. That's what's Paloma about. Low latency, fast message. And it's funny, we tell people from 2017 to 2018, it was all about how fastest blockchain, as in how many blocks, fastest block time. We are about lowest latency, fastest time to communication, fastest trip. And that's a different problem. And I think what we want to say is, if more people are getting their messages, if you have a chain that can deliver on a promise that your message will get to other chains on time, we think that will cause more people to say, I want more of that. I want to use it. And I want to use it in ways you never predicted. That is adoption.
Basically improving user experience. Is that what you're saying, right?
Correct. That's right.
In your opinion, or in your examples, maybe, or experience, what would be, let's put Paloma aside for a second. Give me examples that you think, or that you get inspired by to build Paloma, that you would say, wow, there is great user experience. That is amazing. I love that we take those ideas into Paloma. Not necessarily blockchain. Let's go with, I mean, Twilio comes to mind with Paloma, kind of like the example straight away, but maybe you have others.
No. So that is one, a key example for us. We love what Twilio did for building SMS messaging APIs. Before Twilio, it was very hard to send a message to another phone. like a text message, right? I mean, this is ridiculous. We can call, we couldn't send a message. Why? Because you had to buy infrastructure or you had to rent infrastructure. You had to rent a short code. It was very expensive. And then every network had a different protocol by which they communicated. In comes Twilio and says, listen, we'll just give you an easy API endpoint. Just hit that endpoint, send a message and return. That's it. You're off to the races. We are taking the same approach. We will give you essentially, here's an API. Just pick your chain you want to send a message to. And then when it comes back, there you go, right? Hello world. We want it to be that easy. And we want it to be, again, chain agnostic. The beautiful thing about Twilio was you didn't have to pick your phone service. If you wanted to send, you know, say it was AT&T to Verizon or to T-Mobile, you didn't have to decide. The message got where it needed to go. And so we're taking the same approach at Paloma. The message to simply get where it needs to go. And it's for the developer, it should be easy as an API. We have Paloma.js and Paloma Pi SDKs today made that possible. And we're going to be building more on those.
It's interesting, like that a lot of the work is concentrated from what I'm hearing around like improving communication, not just user experience, which is the same as improving user experience, I guess. But it's great how, well, I mean, this is the essence of blockchain for me. It's a communication tool.
Love it.
And this is like, boom, it's right on it. I like it. The question that I derive is going to be a bit different this time, but I want to hear your opinion here as well. Obviously, for you guys, you have to communicate with smart contracts, right, on other chains. Now, lately, we have finally, I say finally, some people say it gets scared, I say finally. Lately, we have seen, especially from talking to guests, people starting to experiment a little bit with not the architecture of smart contract, but how shall I put it? For example, I've seen chains put things into those smart, like, for example, and the thing that I want to ask you, do you think crazy things... And how...
That's all right.
Puff gift. Little it. You know, remember. Let's give it
up. Stop looking at it in passing.
Damn. No, seriously. I got it. I can do it. So, for example, imagine I heard of chains that say, okay, now we're going to give the smart contract the ability to make its own decision. How are we going to do it? We're going to give the smart contract part of the fees bet, we're going to start feeding it with its own money. So basically, it can become, in a way, independent. Of course, somebody has to press the button. So the question is, does that influence your work, guys? Or for you, that doesn't matter? Because then you have like a kind of another decision?
Yeah. So I want to, again, give a shout out to Marco Breviak over at Tendermint. He has been an amazing advisor to us. And this is something that he brought up. You know, we talk to him a lot. And one of the key things that folks are moving to is allowing smart contracts, you know, either through many of the Cosmos modules like AuthZ and others to essentially make payments on behalf of other accounts, right? Make an account, allow account to make payment on behalf of an account. Now, let's now dig deeper. Can now the account that is actually running or has deployed a contract, can that contract now get funds to run? So on Paloma, what we have built is that layer. So what we call it is logic. So you come to Paloma, if you want to say, listen, I have a message, that message hits my contract, but then what happens is that that contract changes state and that contract has money to go spend to send another message in return because of that first message. Can you do this? So this is what the pigeons are meant to do. The pigeons are essentially saying, hey, listen, contract, we will send your message. So user, you send us on a journey. We send a message. We've come back from the chain with a message to the contract because the user's gone. The contract receives this message. And now there's a change in state. And because the pigeons can say to each other, coo, coo, did you see the state? Coo, coo, you saw the state. Hold on. Puff, puff. Hold on. Two puffs. Because decisions who are the validator set can see the change in state and approve it to the contract can execute. It can execute another message. It can execute a state change. So this is something that we love. What you're talking about, we think is the way to go. So if you're seeing it already, it is a validation of where we're heading on Paloma. Logic and execution of state changes from message awareness by pigeons is something that is already baked into the protocol. And again, What it should do is, again, make the user experience even less stressful. Because we can say, for example, if I executed a trade on chain on the Ethereum, on, let's say I executed a trade on Arbitrum, and now state has changed on Arbitrum so that I say, listen, if you see that there's a price difference on some peer on Arbitrums, on an AMM on Arbitrum, I don't want to take advantage of that. Go do that. And the contract's already funded. That is what Paloma can allow. You can do that on Paloma. And so that sort of feeds into that vision of, whoa, so the contract was funded. It changed. It was aware of its own state. It got verification. It could change state. And then it sent off another message. And we say, yes. That is what we want, is the beginning of some really promising visions around automation and a really promising vision of like making chains do really, really big things beyond, hey, I just sent one transaction, I got to wait. So I love what you just described there. Yeah, we have it.
What do you think, though, in general about the future of how smart contracts, where can they go and what can they achieve that we are having like hard time with today without that next achievement, whatever that may be in your head?
I think it's about security, right? Because now that communications, you know, now the message is the money. We say in Paloma, the message is the money. It is still hard to secure smart contract language and software. It's just hard. It's not impossible, it's hard. And we still have a lot of work to do because we just lost $160 million in the last 2 months, you know, because smart contracts issues. This stuff is painful. And it puts the fear of God into us over at Paloma. We have to look at it as well. Security is a big issue. So we want to continue to contribute to security best practices. And I'll say, for example, on Paloma, we advise folks not to use upgradable contracts in the Paloma messaging system. If you're deploying a contract on Paloma with Paloma on Ethereum, we say deploy a new one. Don't try to upgrade it, because if it's exploited, the last thing you want is that, you know, everybody's funds gets lost. It's hard. And this bridge stuff, it's the surface area, the attack surface area grows as you have more chains. So it's going to be very, very tough area for us. And I think one of the areas we're going to invest a lot in to help contribute to the security knowledge of the space. Security. It's a big deal.
Do you have already any ideas of how you would like to improve and contribute? Do you have any things that you can talk about? I know those things can be like private in terms of development.
One of the things, so our view again, is that the pigeons want work. They're annoying, but they serve a use. And one of the things that we want the pigeons slash the validators to do is we're looking at maybe doing contract awareness, like actually checking contract state as a service. So you could come to this Cosmos chain, Paloma, and say, hey, would you please execute an audit check on contract A on blockchain Z, and then come back and tell me if you see any issues. And so that means that the pigeon will have to go query the contract ABI, actually debug the contract ABI separately, and then send the results back into the Paloma chain user who requested it. Can that be done? We're looking at those types of things where it's like, wow, dude, that's a new service. Like, yeah, validators actually providing monitoring security of chain states. Dude, that's possible. It is possible in Paloma. So we're excited about using and exploring, the validator set as workabees. And then how do you get paid? Well, remember, validators get paid on that gas fee, and gas is also incurred for querying. Wow, so you mean the validators can start acting as auditors? Well, hold on, I didn't say that. But could we imagine a world in which validators are now running audit systems on behalf of the message senders? I think we can.
I think in general, the more role, it's not even that I think that, I think that we can see that happening. There is more and more roles arising, whether, you know, people giving part of the inflation to the contract that does the most gas or whatever, and so on and so forth and so forth. And it's a cool thing. And right now, I think we use the word validators because it's like the obvious thing to pull, but I'm pretty sure that in the future we will see those roles like going boom, kaboom.
That's right. Yeah. It's not limited to validators. I'm sorry. That's a good point, because we have teams at Paloma who aren't validators, who are exploring these questions. And you're quite right. It is permissionless. So anyone can sort of try to offer these services. And I think we want to encourage that as well. And I think security services on Paloma Network is something we're going to be saying, hey, how can we continue to encourage this using the sort of messaging protocol approach that we have designed? Absolutely agree.
And it's great, though, that this messaging service uses verifiable public ledger, because then we get like the whole Web3 build on Web2, like with the whole GitHub story, right? Where like, oh, sorry, we're not happy with what your smart contract does. We're going to delete your account.
Yeah, we're going to deplatform you. Which is, again,
I loved it.
You know, pigeons are a nuisance, but they keep coming back. God damn it. It's like rats. So we actually are very sensitive to the whole censorship issue. And it's an issue for us, something we have to think about as well. What happens when a pigeon who is sending a message to a chain suddenly finds himself sending a message to a blacklisted account? How do we protect? How do we provide awareness? But I think our hope is that, again, folks on the Paloma network will provide these services using the same infrastructure. One, to check, verify state, verify status, and as well as to say, hey, here's how to respond, here's how to protect, and provide resilience. What we want is a network that's resilient. No matter how much they blacklist us, no matter how much they try to ban us, resilience means that the network will persist and continue to provide value. It's super critical for us in Paloma.
Just an idea. You could have two guys dressed up as pigeons, you know, with a couple of baseball bats going around knocking on them. Bam, bam, bam. That's not resilient, people, you know.
You know, it's funny. So,
cuckoo, you know, cuckoo.
Cuckoo, motherfucker.
Cuckoo. Yeah, PKA, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Bro,
oh my God,
that's how it goes.
Stitches.
That's how it goes.
We did have a meme competition on Paloma in the early days, and it was funny to see what people would put up as memes. And I think somebody put up one of those like cuckoo, like two gangster pigeons coming, being like, you know, we're here to threaten you. Yeah, you know, we won't take it off the table. Okay, so we might leave that on the table. Pigeon mascots walking around. But yeah, we believe seriously in network resilience, and we believe in research and development. I think we want to really continue to advance blockchain technology and really identify ways to see how we, again, can use research to make the network more resilient and fail safe.
Another devil's advocate here think, while we're on the matter of resilience and then censorship, I love those. I'm sorry. I'm like a cuckoo kind of shit on it all the time, you know. But I have to ask. So if I go like start to crawl around the Paloma website, I do find this interesting thing. And again, this is devil's advocate question. It says in one point or in one place, one of the pages, that your guys are part of the CCC.
Right. Cross-chain Coalition. Yep.
Yes, coalition. Now, and here's the devil's advocate thing. On one hand, that's cool. On the other hand, in your opinion, can something like cross-chain coalition do more damage than good, because they're like a coalition that's already there and deciding things?
Yeah, so Volume is the founder of the cross-chain coalition. And unlike Paloma, which is essentially owned by the Paloma Foundation, Volume owns the cross-chain coalition. And the job of the cross-chain coalition is to educate. We want to educate. So Paloma wants more people who are in the cross-chain world who are not aware of what you can do with Cosmos technology to come into the Cosmos ecosystem, participate, start building on Cosmos, and start essentially integrating, using Paloma network to send messages to and from Cosmos and Ethereum, as well as Solana. We want more people to come into this world. And so by doing that as a coalition, as a direct information group, we think is the best way to reduce the idea that people think, hey, you know, oh yeah, you're here to sell me your token. No. Oh, you're here to like convince me about blockchains. No, we're just here to educate you about what it means to live in a multi-chain world and how these chains communicate with each other and what it takes to happen. And I think right now that group's around 4,000. And what you're going to see is that Paloma hopefully will continue to sponsor educating these individuals so that more people can come aboard this vision of this increased communication world, again, leveraging Paloma and the Cosmos SDK.
Thank you for finding it, because like those kind of things, I think, do help like in terms of education. And I didn't hear about it before. I did only found it yesterday as well when I was like researching some things, like trying to go down the rabbit hole. Though, I don't know how it happened, but it's been, how did the time go past so quickly?
Wow, yeah, but.
Yeah, cuckoo, you know, like I love it. But man, traditional question. I love it because to me, it does open up a lot of what's inside a person. And I want to hear your answer, especially with what you mentioned, 2014, Tendermint, pigeons. What keeps you motivated day in day to get out of bed and to, I mean, I didn't ask you blockchain story, which I usually do, but regardless, what keeps you motivated to build, to keep on trying to create things like a coalition that's going to educate people about decentralization? Why do you do that, man? What's the deal for you personally? And what keeps you motivated?
You know, I'll say I'm addicted to people. I'm addicted to people who continue to push the boundaries of what is possible. You know, I'm a boy who grew up in a Caribbean island, Trinidad and Tobago, which is 1.2 million people, small island. Our biggest export was sugar cane and oil. So just having an opportunity to work on a global platform and a global audience of people wherever in the world who are constantly saying, you know what, the status quo is not sufficient. We want change. We want freedom. And we want to explore the way we as humans interact with each other keeps me going. And I think the beautiful thing about the way we've used cryptography and this database technology to create new forms of money and new forms of value, and even now new communication systems. That is, you know, I'm lucky to be alive, Sergey. I am lucky to be here. I'm lucky to be talking to you. And this is a privilege for you to have me here and a privilege to share these ideas. I mean, where else in the world can I do this? If I told somebody, if I wasn't doing this job, I'd most likely be a taxi driver in Barcelona, you know? But I'd get to meet more people too.
Why Barcelona? Why Barcelona? I mean, a taxi driver, I get yeah. it. I get a taxi driver thing. Why Barcelona?
I was just there in Barcelona.
I mean, sorry, Spanish.
That's all right. My wife is Spanish, so I have to shout out to my beautiful wife.
She's I'm sorry.
But being around these people, again, I was lucky to be exposed to Jay Kwan. I was lucky to have Zaki Mannion, lucky to be exposed to Jack Zamplin, Billy Reinkamp, you know, Jehan Trambach, Justin Kilpat, you know, I mean, I can go on. These folks, you know, Sonny from Osmosis, everybody I've actually had human face-to-face contact with, and it has continues to just be an inspiration. And these people continue to inspire me, and I hope I can continue to inspire others. If I can pass it along and say, listen, if you have a vision for making the world a better place, you know, come and do it with us. And I think that's what we want to do at Paloma. We want to make blockchains more accessible by making communications even faster and easier.
Amen. A cuckoo to that, not amen? Cuckoo to that. Cuckoo to that. No, that was a beautiful answer, man. I loved it. It was great. For all the folks who are listening out there, we'll try to, of course, put all of the links. If we miss something, guys, I'm sorry, but all of the links that Tarek mentioned, of course, will be in the description of the episode and everywhere spread around. So, guys, spread the message. This is the stuff, man. Tarek, man, thank you very much.
We say come join the flock.
Come join the flock. I love it.
Let's fly high. All right.
Wait,
hold on a second. You saw what I did there? Did you see what I did there? Now you understand why we choose
Wait, we're still recording, Tarek. Damn. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Tarek, thank you very, 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 very much for coming and finding the time.
Thank you, Sergey. Bye.